Welcome into the Locked On Cavs podcast. On today's show, month by month, let's talk about the 2023-2024 schedule. It's going to be a good one. Let's dive in.
You are Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast.
Today's episode is brought to you by Bird Dogs. Go to birddogs.com/LockedOnNBA or enter our promo code LockedOnNBA for a free white tech hat with any purchase. You won't want to take your Bird Dogs off ever, we promise. I'm Chris Manning, one of the hosts of the Locked On Cavs podcast. Evan Damerill is off today. Jake Stevens, as always, is on production. I'm going to go month by month through the Cavs schedule. We did a schedule breakdown on Friday. I've written about it for the Sword and Forbes at this point, so is my great staff, the amazing folks over for the Sword. We have some content up over there if you want to read some of this. But we're going to talk about this month by month. This is going to be a long season. We are still a ways off. We have tons of season preview content to get to. You know, we'll probably start early September on that in full detail, and we'll dive deeper and deeper and deeper as we get closer, make some predictions, all of that amazing stuff. The basketball season is close. I'm really excited. The season coming back is always one of those things for me that is like a marking of the end of summer, obviously. I get a lot busier just because there's a little bit more work to do. But I love basketball. There's nothing more I love, really, than just watching a bunch of basketball. Let me throw on random NBA games. Let me throw on Cavs games. Let me go to some games. It's always a good time. It's one of my favorite parts of the fall. And look, I also want to say this episode, if you're a sicko who's watching every game, who's deep diving everything, who is doing all of this, you're probably going to watch more than one game a month. I think the best way to understand any team is to watch more than one game a month. But if you're really going to prioritize and try to, you know, listen to us, listen to other shows, you know, read a lot of the great people covering the team, I think if you can dial in on one game a month, maybe use this as that guide. If you're going to say, okay, I'm going to watch as many games as I can, but I'm also going to dial in on this game every month. I'm going to pick one, maybe two, if you wanted to get a little frisky, and really zone in and take notes, maybe, you know, send some thoughts to us, lockedoncavs@gmail.com. Dive deep into this team. This is a guide for you of sorts. This is going to maybe be your guide to, here's your game you're going to pick once a month. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to be not distracted. My phone's going to get put away. Put your phone away more in general. Get off Twitter. It's bad for you. But maybe dive in here. And October is really easy. Let's start there. It's the Knicks on October 31st. I had my fantasy football draft with some friends from high school on Sunday the 20th. Shout out Ty Griner, who I hadn't seen, I think, since high school, actually, who listened to the show, I learned. We're talking about this, and one of the things that he's, you know, that I said was, I think October 31st is going to tell us something. This is a national TV game. This is in Cleveland. The Cavs are going to play the team that punked them in the playoffs last year. How could this not be the game in October? Yes, there's the season opener. I think that OKC game, the second game of the year, the home opener on the 27th, is going to be awesome. I love OKC as a team. I can't wait to see Chet. But how is it not the Knicks game? That's on Halloween. It's, again, the team that punks you in the playoffs. It's Jalen Brunson and Donovan Mitchell, who in Brunson had a ton of success against Cleveland's guards. It's redemption season, maybe, for Jared Allen against those Knicks centers. It's a different-looking Knicks team, a different-looking Cavs team. Knicks more so saying the same, but, you know, they add Dante DiVincenzo. Cleveland obviously makes some more changes in Max Strus and George Nang. They're going to look different a little bit. they're going to play a little bit different. I think they're going to at least get more threes up and whatnot. But does the structure of the matchup look differently? Does Cleveland show up in a way they did in the playoffs? What is the energy like for that game? The regular season game between the Cavs and Knicks last year were close. They were competitive. And then the Knicks just kind of beat the doors off the Cavs in the playoffs. They were more ready. They were more physical. They were more present in those matchups. They killed the Cavs on the glass, in the physicality department, in everything you'd want to say. There wasn't an area, really, where the Cavs were better than the Knicks in that series. Okay, so let's turn this around to here. It's early in the season. They do play again the next night in New York. So you do get a really quick turnaround on a Tuesday-Wednesday situation here. What does this all look like? That Halloween game to me is the highlight of October for that reason. You know, again, I'm picking from four games that month. So there's like 1 in 4 chance, a 25% chance that I was going to pick this game. But this is by far and away the biggest one. This is by far and away the game with the most at stake, the most to dive into, the most to think about. I am already getting excited thinking about walking over from where I live, going into the arena with my press pass, getting in there, talking to people about a pregame, feeling the vibe in the arena, feeling the energy in the arena, seeing how the game turns out, talking to people after the game. I mean, that's going to be an event. You know, the home opener is going to be cool. I think the second game will be cool on the 28th. All of that's going to be cool. There's going to be buzz and excitement and these new pieces and what they look like and all of that. But how is the Knicks game, the home game against Knicks on Halloween, not the game of October? Get all excited about the start of the new season, the optimism, the joy that brings. It's about what went wrong in the playoffs last year and what's different now. And then obviously we'll revisit that later in the year. I will not pick the Knicks again. That would be an easy thing for me to do, but I'm going to try to give you a little bit more. If you want to look at November, I think there's a lot of juicy options. You could go the Warriors at home on November 5th. I mean, A, it's the Warriors. It's Draymond probably getting booed because he always does. It's just that whole energy, that kind of lingering tension between Cleveland fans and the Warriors that dates back, obviously, to the finals rivalry. Away at Philly on the 21st is possible, depending on what goes on with Philly. You also get the Lakers and the Heat at home the week of Thanksgiving. I mean, those are great options. LeBron in Cleveland is always a great option. The Heat made the finals. They have Jimmy Butler. Like they might have Damian Lillard by then. That's a really good option. But I'm going to go at Kings November 13th. The Kings last year were one of the NBA's big upstarts. I think the upstart, the story of the league in a lot of ways. They pushed in the playoffs. They took a huge step forward. And when Cleveland went there earlier in the season, I looked at that game and watched it and thought, oh, like, this is kind of a bad loss. Things went wrong in crunch time. I don't think that. I look back at that game differently, knowing that the Kings are good, that Mike Brown did a great job, that De'Aaron Fox took a big step forward, that they have a physical center in Domantas Sabonis, by the way, too. They're also such a stylistically different team because they play at a different pace. They have more shooting. They're more spread out. There's just a really cool style of contrast here. There's a lot of differentiation in between Cleveland and the Kings. There's some connective tissue, obviously, with the Mike Brown part of it. You have a lot of good guard play with Fox and with Garland and with Mitchell. You have different kinds of centers and Sabonis and Mobley and Allen. Everything about that game is just, it's like two different things. It's two different shapes meeting each other. It is two different things really smacking into each other in this game. And the Kings are legit. Let's see how the Cavs do. That's the second game on a road trip. Third game on a road trip, excuse me. They go at OKC on the 8th, at Golden State on the 11th, at Sacramento on the 13th. That Sacramento game, to me, is the one I'm highlighting and I'm diving in. I get it's a late one. It's an NBA TV one. So maybe you TiVo it, you catch it later. But that's when I'd be highlighting and trying to pay attention. October, Cavs-Knicks, October 31st, at the Kings on November 13th. Coming up next, let's dive into December and January. That'll be coming up. The games you got to watch in December and January for the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's coming up next. Today's episode is brought to you by Bird Dogs. And you're never going to want to take off your Bird Dogs. Bird Dogs make you look good. Bird Dog stretch khaki shorts are designed to fit slimmer through the thigh and leg, giving you a truly sculpted look. They do the exact same thing as Lululemon, but fit way better. They fit way better than regular shorts that are made of a stiff, restricting cotton. Bird Dogs fix this issue by inventing cloud knit fabric that looks just like khaki, but stretches so you get a way slimmer fit without having to sacrifice movement. And Bird Dogs uses anti-stink sweat wicking fabric that keeps you cool and dry all day long. I love my Bird Dogs. They've sent Evan and I, and I think Jake, hopefully, a bunch of amazing product. They've sent us a pair of joggers recently that have become my new go-to joggers. I have pairs of shorts for them that I work out in that I love. And they also sent us a great hat, which you can get right now. I'm going to grab that, actually, to show you right now. I mean, look at this hat. Look at this amazing white Tech Bird Dogs hat. This is going to be something you can just wear out in the summer. It's a great hat. Put it on. Go to birddogs.com/LockedInNBA or enter the promo code LockedInNBA for a free white Tech hat. Again, it's right there. Go get that hat. That's birddogs.com/LockedInNBA or the promo code LockedInNBA for a free white Tech hat. You don't want to take off your Bird Dogs. We promise you. We're back here on Locked On NBA, Locked On Cavs, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Chris Manning. Jake Stevens is always on production. Let's go to December and January on the Cavs schedule. There are some highlights here worth looking at. First off, you do have Milwaukee at home just after Christmas. You have home versus New Orleans that month as well. You have home versus Utah, who is frisky, the Colin Sexton part of it, the Larry Markin part of it, the Jordan Clarkson part of it as well, although it's not the Kevin Love bromance anymore. That one is on my list as well. But I'm going to cheat a little bit. I'm going to say both December 12th and 14th on the road against the Boston Celtics. Boston is one of the best teams in the East. They were ahead of the Cavs in the standings last year. They have no, there's not a ton of reason to think they're going to regress this year. I know Marcus Smart is gone. I know they added Porzingis and their defensive scheme is going to look different. By December, we should have a better idea of what that is going to look like. We're going to have a month of games before we kind of see what all of that looks like. But I still expect Boston to be really good. They have Jason Tatum, and how the Cavs defend Jason Tatum wintering. The Cavs are a team that are, I think, can be susceptible to these big wings. Tatum is an amazing All-NBA caliber player. He's going to be a problem. Jalen Brown, is similar in that way. He is, you know, the handle, you can make fun of it, but that's a really good player who made All-NBA deservedly last season. That's a guy you're going to be competing against. That's a guy you are going to have to deal with. And how the Cavs defend that and deal with the Porzingis part of it is going to be really interesting. And then you throw in, you know, Derek White can defend your guard still. Malcolm Brogdon can defend your guard still. This is one of those games you're going to see how the Cavs stack up against one of the elite teams in the East. Let's see what that looks like. You know, all year, I try to break down how the Cavs do against certain opponents. I keep a spreadsheet. One of the things I'm going to do this year that I haven't in years past is, okay, how do the Cavs do against the other elite teams? And I'm going to have it, okay, so Boston, I'm going to try to make my own inner ring of title contenders. Maybe I'll reveal this on the show later. I'm sure Evan and I will do a big season preview of sorts. Boston's going to be on that list. Boston is going to be in that circle. They deserve to be based on what they've done. Certainly some concerns, certainly some things there, but you're going to Boston to play them twice. You get that two-game series feel there in 3 days. They have the wings. It's going to be a different-looking Boston team, so there's intrigue there as well. I think that has to be the one. And December also features the play-in tournament. I would right now, if I were to bet on it, if at our friends at FanDuel, if that there were odds for this, I would look at picking the Cavs to win their group. I mean, I think that's a team that is going to be in really good position to win its group, to get to Vegas. This could be the answer. You know, it could be the quarterfinals, the semifinals, and the finals of the play, the in-season tournament, excuse me, not the play-in tournament. Can they get to Vegas? Do we get there? Do we see Cleveland in that environment, in those stakes? I think that could be really cool. That would shoot up the list because it would be, I want to see them in that environment again. I think this is a group, considering how young they are, considering what they haven't won. Let's see what that looks like. Let's see how Cleveland looks in an environment where the pressure's on, the stakes are high, There are big adjustments happening, and there's something meaningful to play for. I think every regular season game has value. I'm not trying to argue that they don't, but there's no denying that when you get to the playoffs, when you get to, I think, hopefully this tournament, that the bar gets raised here, that the bar goes up a level, that the tension ratchets up, that we're going to see more and more and more on the line and what guys are going for and what everyone is really playing for here. It's not just going to feel like another random regular season game where teams are tired. If teams are really going for pulling out all the stops, I think it would be good for the Caps to be in that environment. So if they can make it there, win their group, beat out Philly and Indiana and Detroit, and get to Vegas, that's going to be a really good opportunity for them. And I think that would supersede for me the Boston games, which are after the in-season tournament. So if they get there, I want to see what it would look like for them to win the in-season tournament and go through that. I think that would be good for them as a team. I think there's a lot of value in it for a team like Cleveland. I'm in on the tournament. I want to see them in the environment. Let's see it. January. This is a less full month. There are some real stinkers this month, I will say. You know, home games against the Wizards, ugh. The Bulls, ugh. There's a lot of blah. But you have two road games in 3 days against the Bucks. Those will be big tests, presuming the Bucks are healthy and everything was right with Giannis and the new coach works out, all that stuff. You would suspect those are big tests. I would throw out the Victor Wembanyama game in Cleveland on the 7th as well. That's Popovich in town. That's Victor Wembanyama coming in his first and only game this season in Cleveland. That's the Jetty Osman and Lamar Stevens return games, as long as those guys are still on that roster. I would think they would be. At least Jetty financially, easier for him to be on the roster. Tribute videos for Jetty. Just a bunch of Cavalanche capping threes or Cavalanche starting threes from Jetty in the corner. Maybe Lamar Stevens just a bunch of woofing because he was the origin of kind of the dog mentality of that team. Maybe that's it. But that's about Victor Wembanyama more than anything else. Maybe a little just fantasizing about Keldon Johnson if you're still like butthurt over the Dylan Windler pick. But I digress. The pick just though has to be the game in Paris, right? This was really cool last year. It just looked cool. It felt cool. I understand that this is bad timing considering it's 2 p.m. on a Thursday. I looked at the date on this, and it's when I'm in production for my job, and it's like a busy part of the month usually. There's like a non-zero chance I'm just like swamped at work and have to catch this one at like 5, like TiVo this, watch it at 5 o'clock. And then we do the pod later that night. Like, this is how my brain works, how ridiculous I am in my head. Most of us are going to be working. If you're not, God bless. Love that for you. So 2 p.m. on a Thursday isn't ideal, but this is going to be cool. It's in Paris. It's going to be an event. You don't get to see a lot of these things. Like, there are regular season games you can go to in Cleveland, even if the arena is packed. Or it doesn't feel like an event. I went to a Cavs-Pistons game last year as a member of the media that I covered. That was truly one of the most soulless sporting events I've ever been to in my life. The Pistons had nothing to play for. The Cavs just crushed the Pistons. Just dog-walked them. And then you end up in this situation where, like, there's not a lot of energy. Like, there's a lot of pumped-in noise. And there's a lot of just fakeness, right? It wasn't this authentic, amazing sporting experience. That's not going to be the case in Paris. This is going to be big. This is going to look cool. This is going to feel cool. This is going to feel unique. So even if you get to go to Paris, go. That'd be sick. I love that for you. I'm jealous of all the media that's going to be able to go on this, to be honest. But how cool is it going to be to, even for us back here in the States or wherever you're watching from that's not in Paris, and soak this in? That's going to feel cool. There's just no way around that for me. There is nothing to me better than a big sporting event that feels big. The fans are engaged, and the fans are the noise and not like music. I want this to be that. I'm putting this out in the ether that that's what I want this to be. All right, coming up next, Let's finish out the season February, March. All right, February. It's the February 27th, near the end of the month, against the Dallas Mavericks. Number one, Luka Doncic in Cleveland is always loud due to the Slovenian population here. It's vibrant. There's a ton of flags. It's about the fans, just like I talked about with Paris. This is going to be cool. There's just no way this isn't going to be awesome. It always is. I felt cheated last year, as did that kid who went viral when the one reporter from Dallas talked to his family about it. Felt bad. I felt cheated too. But also, them defending a scorer like Luka is number two. That's really big. How'd they handle this year? This will be much later in the season, obviously. We'll have more data points. But that's going to be a cool thing for us to see and learn and process and see, okay, what is the defensive strategy for a team without that real apex predator wing? Okay, what does that look like? Is it, like, do they throw Mobley at him? Is Max Strus just the guy? Like, what does that look like? Third, Kyrie Irving. Kyrie has, like, not, I still don't think, played in front of Cleveland in front of fans since the Gordon Hayward injury. He has played in Cleveland, but it was COVID era, like peak COVID era, and that was the game Colin Sexton ruined the Nets, and there was no fans there, so Kyrie played in front of no fans. If he's healthy, if everything does, if there's nothing weird with Kyrie, whatever, that in itself is a selling point to me. That's another environment game. I don't know how the crowd is going to react to Kyrie. I don't know how they're going to, like, handle him. What the vibe is like from the announcers. Like, he hit the biggest shot in franchise history, and yet he left in this weird way, and yet his, to put it mildly, he's had a very complicated couple years in a lot of ways for what he said and what he kind of seems to believe in. So, or doesn't believe in. So, there's just a lot there. Luka's the headliner. The defense against Luka is right up there. And then the Kyrie part of it is like the sugar on top. Is the sprinkles on top of your sundae. It's like you got your ice cream. You got your brownie base the with the Luka thing. The ice cream is on top with the defensive stuff to make it all sugary and sweet and add some decadence. And then you got the sprinkles on top. If there's a cherry, it's... I don't know what the cherry is for that one, actually. I should have prepped that better. Kind of wigging this a little bit, to be honest with you. But at least this part of that analogy was winged. I don't know what the cherry is. You know, maybe you're a big, like, Hardy fan. I don't know. Question. All right, March. There's just two games against two big Western Conference teams here. I'm not going to belabor this one very much. Suns' only trip to Cleveland is March 11th. Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal. Seeing that up close is going to be cool. That's an easy one for me. Also, I have a friend who works for the Suns, and I get to see him, hopefully, and that's cool. That's always a win for me. Secondly, the Nuggets on Easter Sunday. It's Denver. It's the defending champs. It's at altitude. The Cavs have played well there the last couple years, weirdly enough. Does that continue here? How do they defend Jokic? It's Jokic. Like, the March is kind of a weird one for games I'm, like, really circling. This season could change that if there's, like, a surprise East team that they play that month or something. But I go Suns for the novelty of it in person in Cleveland. But overall, it's probably Denver on Easter Sunday. That's, like, a good 3:30. I'll have some ham and some cheesy potatoes and some rolls and whatever with my family. And I'll be like, hey, I'm going to pop this other room. And my dad and I will watch Cavs Nuggets, probably. That's likely what will happen. It's like when the Cavs played on Christmas, which, by the way, I'm always glad when they don't now, because I can just, like, yes, I will watch a bunch of basketball, but then I don't have to necessarily totally work per se. Like, it's just a little easier. So I'm always grateful that they don't, but it's like on Christmas Day, you have to, like, I'd, like, go out of my way to make sure I could take notes and, like, do stuff, even though it's like, in explaining that's always kind of annoying, to be honest. It's always kind of, like, awkward because your family's like, can you just chill? And this Easter Sunday, everyone will be in a little bit of a food coma, hopefully, and then I can just sit with my dad and watch Cavs Nuggets. That sounds like a great Sunday afternoon to me, honestly. Easy. April. The trip to LA, as we talked about last week, is very high up there. You get the end of the season LA road trip. Could be anything. I don't know what that's going to be. Fascinated to see what the energy's like there. NBA players, as you know, love Los Angeles. Wonder why. But lastly, it's the Grizzlies at home on April 10th. That's another younger upstart team. That's the Ja Morant factor. That's the Jaren Jackson Jr., Evan Mobley off factor. Those teams have played each other interestingly. They have different styles. It's different coaching premises with Taylor Jenkins in Memphis and JB Bickerstaff in Cleveland. It's the end of the season. It's one of the last good teams you play. If you go to the end of the Cavs season, here are the April games. It's at Utah, at Phoenix, at the Lakers, at the Clippers, at Memphis, or home versus Memphis, excuse me, home versus Indiana, home versus Charlotte. Memphis is the last big home game you have against like a good team. Memphis being, you know, Indiana's going to be solid and pesky. I think Charlotte's going to suck. So that one's like a, that 1 p.m. one might be one of those ones if you don't watch it all. I can't blame you. Probably talking about the playoffs when we on that Monday the 15th. But when there could be still some things to play for in that game. It's against a good team, we think. I'm just kind of in on that. But let's end there. That is the month-by-month breakdown, the game to watch each month of the 2023-2024 Cavs season. I am Chris Manning. Thanks again to Jake Stevens for production. Back at you later this week with more Locked on Cavs.